Lord, guide us through these important words, life-saving words. Help us to understand them and apply them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, as we celebrated Easter and Resurrection Day, we read those glorious, life-changing words, "He is not here, he is risen as he said." And Jesus rose from the dead. And we believers have gained the resurrection from the dead. We were dead in our sin. And now we can look forward to a glorious eternity in heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. See, we can know it, that we're going to heaven. And Jesus said, "He who lives and believes in me shall never die." That's wonderful. We followers have identified with Jesus in his death, and we identify with his resurrection. In the book of Ephesians, last time we studied in verse 1, Ephesians 2:1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." We were made alive. Just like Lazarus when he was in the tomb. He was dead. People were weeping, and then Jesus came and said, "Lazarus, come forth," and guess what? Lazarus came out of there. And they took away the grave clothes, unwrapped him. And so it's same with us. When Jesus calls us and we respond, one day he said to me, "Jim, come to me." And guess what? It took a little while, but I came to him. And I walked out of that tomb and I was made alive. New life in Christ. And all of us that are believers have been resurrected from the dead. We've got a new life, love. Resurrected to a new life while we're still here on this earth. See, we're made alive to live, to really live. Live without bondage to sin, free from the weight of guilty sin. Free to walk according to the way God wants us to walk and live. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you'd like to turn there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it tells us if anyone is in Christ, and that's what the book of Ephesians is about, we're in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You know, if someone doesn't like the life they have, they're living in the world and they're sick and tired of it and sick and tired of living, you ought to share with them 2 Corinthians 5:17 and say, "Do you want a new life? Want a brand new start?" If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If we're walking in the Spirit in Christ, we're new. We've got a new life. But you notice the old flesh is still hanging around. That's why you have to walk in the Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, we've been given the power to live the new life. What a wonderful life. I don't know how many people I've talked to that lived a horrible life, gave their life to Christ and are born again and just so thankful. They're born again and they're living a new life. Forgiveness of sins. All because of God's grace. He can save the guttermost to the uttermost, no matter what a person's done. He saves them when they come to him. God's saving grace. That's good news. Now, for we that are alive and have given our life to Christ, we should never forget how we became so rich, rich in Christ. You know, a lot of people, they start off poor in life. And through life, they somehow make it. They may get rich. They worked hard. They worked at it. They made it. But then when they make it, they forget where they came from. And they become proud and arrogant and think they're so great. And they forget the people that helped them. We've been saved by grace, and we can never forget how. By God. We didn't one day just say, I'm going to become a better person and do great and love people and have a great life and just bless God and bless others. No, it's not up to us. It's God's grace. He makes us better people. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever think you got it together. I see a lot of Christians that are very arrogant and proud. We can't ever forget where we came from. We were dead in our sin. God saved us. We didn't save ourselves. We just responded. And the gospel of salvation is very clear. We see it in verses 8 to 10 today in our text. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And even that, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God. God initiates salvation. His part. Charis, this word grace, favor, divine favor, undeserved kindness. In other words, I get something I didn't deserve. God's grace. All God's doing. He set the way up. He provided Jesus, our sacrifice for our sins, so that God could remain just. God can't overlook sin. You and I have sinned. God can't say, oh, Jim, you're a good guy, I'll forget it. Sometimes we forget it with our children, don't we? Okay, that's okay. It's okay, we made peace. Let's forget about it. God can't. You missed the mark, you missed the mark. God's grace saves. I get something I don't deserve. I'm justified. He says, I'll pay the penalty for your sin through Jesus Christ. So that he's just. The price is paid for our sin. And so anyone, no matter what they've ever done in life, can be saved. Maybe you've given up on people and said, oh, they'll never come to the Lord. Don't give up. Pray. Pray for them that they will come to the Lord. Because they can come by grace as soon as they believe and receive Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You notice, have been saved. Aren't you glad you don't have to wake up every morning and work on it? You don't have to wake up in the morning and say, am I still saved? Am I still going to heaven? Or did God close the door on me? It's a done deal. You have been saved. Through faith. And he gave us that saving faith. As long as we're willing, God will save anyone who receives God's grace through faith. He will in no wise cast anyone out that comes to him. Isn't that wonderful? That person you've given up on, there's a chance. Because it's him and not them that does the work. That gives us hope. Did you ever give up praying for a person and then God convicts you a little while down the road and says, no, I've got to pray for them? It's God being gracious to man. It's not a reward from God for some good work we did, some good deeds. Okay, Jim, now you deserve it. I'd still be working on it. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. Through my believing, one day I believed that Jesus died on the cross for me. And he paid for all my sin. They're transferred to him. I believe that. Now I'm forgiven. And I received him as my Lord and Savior. Let's turn to Acts chapter 15, please. Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren. And they said, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. No, you've got to become like a Jew. You've got to be circumcised, and that's the only way you can be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia, Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, that they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all the things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. No, they can't just be saved and forgiven. They've got to go the same way we did, like a Jew. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. Now therefore, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Jew and Gentile saved the same manner by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. It's by grace you are saved, through faith. It's by grace I am saved, through faith. What is man's part? What do I do? Well, back to our text, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. We believe. We have faith. Now, it's just not a head knowledge. It goes down into the heart, where I believe it. You know how you believe things and then you really believe things? It is by grace you have been saved through faith. But even that is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. God gives us saving faith if we're willing. We believe, we accept, we receive what God did. We believe what God has decided as the way. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's by grace, not by baptism, confirmation, works. None of that. It's by grace. Isn't that wonderful? That's how Jesus was able to say to the thief on the cross, today you shall be with me in paradise. Through faith, we believe. God will give one saving faith enough to believe. God provided the way, Jesus. And he draws us. And I apply that faith, and one day I said, I believe. I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but through him. It's God's work in my believing faith in his finished work. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. What does that mean? It means without faith, I can't please God. You can give, you can serve, you can do all kinds of things, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Why? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God rewards me with my faith. I inherit heaven. So it's by grace that we, as verse 8 in Ephesians says, you have been saved through faith. You know, the finished work of God. And even that's not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Man can't earn salvation. They can't work for salvation. I don't know how many people I've talked to over my lifetime and shared the gospel with them, and they'd say, I don't need that. I'm a good person. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. The next time you get upset, remember that. You know what? I'm really not that good. But don't feel alone. We're all the same. That's why it's by grace, through faith, that we're saved. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Man can't earn salvation. They can't work for salvation. You just receive salvation. What a gift. What a gift. Salvation. I'm going to heaven. Spend eternity with God in heaven. See, when you're not in Christ, you're dead. We read that in Ephesians. You he made alive who are dead in your sins. Dead people can't do anything, can they? It's by grace we're saved through our faith. We can't do it ourselves. Dead people can't work for salvation. We can just receive it. But a dead person, just like Lazarus in that tomb, can hear the voice of the Lord. And when the Lord says, come here, Lazarus responded and left the grave. And so did we. The whole work of salvation is of God, not of man. Salvation is a gift of God. Verse 8, it is the gift of God. Through God, those who surrender, believe in, and receive the Lord. What if you opened up a Christmas present and it said on the card, to so-and-so, this is yours if you do this and this and this and that and really treat me nice all year. Honey, I bought you this great present, but if you really take care of me all year and you never say a bad word and you really treat me nice, and make my favorite dessert all the time, and do this and that, it's yours. Would you call that a gift? That's not a gift. You'd work for it. God says, here's Jesus, my gift to you. Just believe in him and receive him. And he's yours. Your sins are forgiven. That's the best deal on the earth. Salvation. God reached down to man and provided a way of salvation. God did what man could not do for himself, undeserved kindness. He says, you can't save yourself, I'll save you. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Great. Whenever you get feeling sorry for yourself, think of what the Lord has done for you. How good he is, how much he loves you. And that verse 8, it says, and that gift and that salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Wow. And then verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, as people and as Christians, we love to give or do things for people, don't we? Much more I know I do than before I was a Christian. You just like to bless people. It's wonderful when you bless them, isn't it? It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone could boast. But a lot of times when you help people or do something for people, they say, oh, I can't receive that. You should have never done that. And they try to reject it, you know. And they don't like that idea. Well, when it comes to salvation, you better like that idea and say, okay, God. Because we like to give, but we also must receive. whatever God has for us. And just know it's a gift. And sometimes it humbles you when someone gives you something, isn't it? It should really humble us when we realize what God did for us. He says, here's my son. It's yours. Your Savior. He reached down and he touched us with his son. And he had him go to the cross and pay the price for our sin. So salvation is not of works, lest anyone should boast. If it would be of works, then a person, we all would feel like God owes us. When I work for something, when you work for an employer, you better get that paycheck or you're a little upset. It's not of works. Else we would feel God owes us. Plus, who would determine what kind of works it would be? Hey, what would be enough works? What would be required? You know, there are those who feel they are a good person and they deserve to go to heaven. We're all sinners. We don't deserve to go to heaven. But through God's grace, we go to heaven. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19, please. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, to Jesus, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? What do I have to do to go to heaven? He said to them, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. So Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? This guy's playing games with Jesus. You know how people do it? Well, which ones? Well, to me, commandments means commandments. All of them. But which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, hey, I've kept all these things from my youth. I'm a good person. What else do I need to do? What do I still lack? So he thought he had Jesus right away. And then Jesus said to him, well, if you want to be perfect, go and sell, because only that can enter heaven. Go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He says, oh, well, if you really want to be perfect, you kept all the law, then go sell everything you have. He was rich. Go sell everything you have, and then also come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He says, whoa, that's going a little too far. That's fanatical. I've got a lot of stuff. I'm not going to go sell it all and give it all to the poor and then follow Jesus. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, could you ever picture a camel going through the eye of a needle? Wouldn't you say that's impossible? What do you think Jesus is trying to tell them? Impossible for you to do it. And so when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, well, then who then can be saved? Well, if you're saying that, who can possibly be saved? Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. What was he showing them? You can't do it. You can't save yourself. Even if you did sell all that you have. But with God, it's possible. Because he gave us Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And we shall be saved. Only possible through God's grace salvation. Paul said, look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. This is where we are a lot. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. You know, Paul's going through that problem where he's carnal and he's spiritual. And in Romans 7:15, he says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice, but what I hate that I do." He says, "I'm such a terrible person. What I want to do, I don't do. You know, and what I'm doing, I don't understand why I'm doing it, because it's not good. If then I do that what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present." Hey, I want to do what's right, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I don't want to do, I practice." He says, man, am I going through it? Why do I end up doing those things I don't want to do? And I don't do the things that I should do. Sounds hopeless, doesn't it, for Paul? But then till you get to verse 24 and 25. "Oh, wretched man that I am." Man, I'm just so terrible. "Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know what his answer was? Through Christ, I can do what I'm supposed to do. And only through Christ. Because my nature is bad. So back to our text, Ephesians 2. "It's not of works. We'll never work our way to heaven, lest anyone should boast." Instead of giving glory to God, I would boast. I'd feel like God in control of my life. And here's the problem, if it wasn't this way. "It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." What if one day I did some works that were not good? Then how would I feel? Not saved? You see, people that say, "Well, I'm a good person. I don't need Jesus." Maybe you do. You need a crutch. "I don't, because I'm a good person." Well, say they're a good person, according to this world. But say one day they do something bad. Then are they not a good person? Are they not going to heaven? Would I still be saved? We'd be waking up every day. Let's see. I forgot. Last night, was I good or bad? Oh, I said something. I did something. Oh, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. You see, it's not of works. In other words, you can't earn your way there. But also, and here's the thing. It's not of works, which means I can't be saved by my works and I won't be lost by my works. Isn't that wonderful? Because you may have done something in your life that's a horrible thing, a horrible work, and it eliminated you from heaven. So how in the world would you ever get there if it were by works? Your works don't save you, but also your works don't keep you out. You can commit your life to Christ. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. You see? One will be lost only by rejecting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they'll only be saved by receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You say, yeah, but do you still continue in those old bad works? No, we're going to read that in the next verse. But the works can't save you, but also they won't keep you out if you come to the Lord. It's not good to reflect on all the bad things we've done in our life. But if ever you want to get your life in perspective, just think of some of those things and realize God is good. I'm forgiven. They're gone. I can't go back and make them right. You can't go back, but you can go forward and put them behind you. Paul says, I forget those things that are behind me. Persecuting Christians, consenting to their murder. Not of works, because Jesus Christ cried out on that cross, "It is finished." Salvation is accomplished through me. The work of redemption is finished. See, Jesus paid the price for my sin. I know I'm saved. I know where I'm going when I die, and I don't have to work at my salvation. I received it. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, if it were of works, then Jesus Christ went to the cross for nothing. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. turn back to the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Galatians 2:21. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. What a horrible thought. To think he would go to the cross for nothing because all of a sudden there's another way. That would be horrible. It's not of works. I can't be saved by my works. No one will ever be able to stand before God and gain entrance into heaven by saying, I deserve it. Let me in. Everyone doesn't walk around all day thinking about heaven and hell. There are times we do. But it's not on our mind all the time. Oh, heaven and hell, heaven and hell. Ooh. I wish it were. But we don't walk around that way. You know, people don't hear us mumbling, heaven and hell, wow, this is awesome, you know. No one will able to gain entrance into heaven by saying, I deserve it. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. It's something that should be on our mind, even though we don't say it all day long. Heaven and hell. People don't understand that when they die, they don't vanish into thin air. We studied last week the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection to judgment and resurrection to life. Some will end up in hell. Some will end up in heaven for all eternity. I don't know how, when we understand the awesomeness of spending eternity in one of two places, it's the biggest thing that could ever be in our life. But we don't think about that. We can take church so casually, the Lord so casually, not understanding that where we go is of utmost importance, unless you really don't believe. Then he could be very casual about it. But if you really know God and believe, you'll know this. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. I know this. If God allowed an 8.7 earthquake to happen here in Orange County this morning while we're in church, everybody would be crying out to God. That I know. See, we need to wake up. And God uses things to wake us up to realize that's real, this is temporary. I better be right with the Lord. Because here's what's going to happen. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne. This is called a great white throne judgment. And I saw him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. So here it is. Here's the scene. Here it is at the end of the age on this earth, standing before God. Who's standing before him here? I saw the dead. It means those not in the Lord. Small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. These books. What's in these books? What's in those books? Everyone's works and their whole life. Whatever they did, there's a record. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged. They were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. They said, we don't need Jesus. We'll take our chance and stand before God and tell him I deserve to be in heaven. So the books are open and God will go and they will think they deserve heaven, but they're going to be judged according to their works. Oh, you did this, 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 and this. You sinned. You cannot enter heaven. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each one according to his works. See, people that reject Christ are really saying, I'll take my chance and be judged by how good a person I was. And God's going to say, okay, Jim, let's see how, well, not going to be for me because I'm not going to be in that book, in those books. But any who've rejected Christ, they'll say, okay, let's see your life. Let's check it out. You remember that program? You got to go way back now to earlier centuries. This Is Your Life was on TV, and they'd have a person come in, and they'd open up the book and start going over his life, and they've had all these people come that were in his life, and he'd be so excited about remembering all he did and all these people and friends. That's what's going to be like. This is your life. Okay, Bill, it's your turn. Come on up here and stand before God. This is your life. And then the books are open, and one after another, this sin and that sin, and you said this and you did that, and you had these immoral thoughts, and here's what you took part in life. And it's still on your soul because you never had it forgiven and washed away. Can you imagine that awesome time in history? Where they're going to stand there, and there he delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his work. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, Gehenna, hell. That's the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Your name's in the book of life? The instant you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he knows if you really did, or if it's just religion or a thought, God knows if you're born again. If you are, your name's in that book of life. If it's not, you're judged. And the thing is, they'll all be found guilty. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whenever I read that, I think, why in the world would God take all that time to let every single person who was not a believer plead their case and then open up the books and show them where they sinned? I would say that's a very patient and long-suffering God. You know why? Because he's just. Because he's just. And they won't be able to say, oh, I deserve to get in because I don't. I have sinned. And I have rejected Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you're in the book, Lamb's Book of Life, you're saved. If you're in the books, everyone's works life in there, you're lost. So, but what is the work of God? Because people came up to Jesus once and says, well, what is this work of God that I must do to be saved? Let's turn to John chapter 6, verse 29. John chapter 6, verse 29. John 6, verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. One sentence. Here's the work that God accepts, that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Boy, I mean, isn't that easier? It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts, is it? You become a born-again Christian by believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's the one he sent to die for your sins. That's great. Now, back to our text in Ephesians 2, verse 10. A lot of people question works. Why does the Bible talk about good works? Are good works, or we call godly works, works of righteousness, are they important? Yes. But know this, we are not saved by our works. We are saved for good works. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. We are saved not by works, but by faith, for good works. We're saved to do works that represent Jesus Christ. In other words, we're hired to represent the Lord. Salvation by grace through Christ our sacrificial lamb. But once we're saved, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, we should be have love, joy, peace, and all these good things, and able to live this life through the power of God, doing works that glorify God and not ourselves. Good works follow the believer. We are saved for good works, that we should walk in them and be a light in the darkness. Verse 10, we are his workmanship. You know what the Greek word is for workmanship here? Poema. Guess what English word we get from poema? Poem. We are his poem, created in Christ Jesus. You get an idea? We're his manufactured product. We're his writing. Poema. We are God's poem, his workmanship. He made us new, spiritually alive, tells us in verse 1. That's what a Christian is, a new person, God's workmanship. An artist expresses himself in his work. A poem is a result of the writer, the artist. It's a work of art. Once saved, we are God's work, and God desires to express himself through you and I. We don't want to let the Lord down. He expresses himself through us. We're his poem, walking around in this world. Being a Christian isn't coming to church on Sunday, going out and living the normal life as the world. That is not a Christian. A Christian, a born-again Christian, is one who has given themselves to the Lord and is now his workmanship. God, do whatever you want. Write whatever you want on me. Let me reflect you in all I do and say. That's a Christian. It's right here. We're saved by grace through faith. A lot of people quote verse 8 and 9. Hey, we're saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. But they don't read verse 10. But then we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's poem in this world. And he desires to express himself through us. We were created a new work, became his masterpiece. When we became believers, we became a new creation. We read that right up front. These scriptures talk to true believers. And he says we should walk in them, in these good works, because we're a Christian. Just because we're a Christian and we have the Lord inside of us. Let's turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14. James 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? See, we're not saved by works. We're saved for works. And so he's saying, what does it profit you if you say you have faith? You notice, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, people can say, I have faith, I'm a Christian. But does it show? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That's the great thing about our Christian faith. We don't even have to speak it, but we can show it. Isn't that wonderful? Would you rather have someone in your life that says they love you and buys you a card every year that on your birthday that tells you they love you? Or someone that shows you every day they love you? What would you rather have in your life? I think the answer is pretty simple. I'll take the one that can't even talk, but shows me on a daily basis that they love me by their works. We are ambassadors for Christ. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, live in them. You see, our desire should be to please God. He saved us. He gave us new life. Now, he's the artist. Now, the artist, the creator, writes the poem. The poem reflects the artist. And then people glorify the artist. Not the poem. The artist. And that's the way it is with us. We're his poem, his workmanship. So people should glorify him. All the glory goes to God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's the way it should be. All the glory goes to God. I have been saved by grace, God's kindness toward me. I'm now his workmanship. I'm not here to build my own life. I'm here to reflect the builder, the artist, and that's what I need to do. Not let me shine, but let my life shine for him. So it is by grace we have been saved through faith. That was even given to us by God, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would use us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us, that we really would be spiritually alive and reflect our Lord in heaven. God, help us to be attached to you, abiding in you and not in the world. I pray you would set us free from that, the things of the world. I pray you would use us, Lord. Today, move upon us by your Spirit. Encourage us in the Lord. Help us to realize we're your masterpiece. We're your poem. We're your workmanship. Help us to yield and surrender. Continue, Lord, to use us. Don't ever let us get stagnant or stale or carnal or worldly. Keep us free from those things, Lord. Help us. In these days where the end is very near, we can see all things deteriorating quickly. Lord, we know that our redemption is soon. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray that in your name. Amen.